What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the O Show Podcast, episode 436, presented by betonline.ag. Sign up for that 50% bonus only today at betonline.ag. We are heating things up here in week four of Bet on Jack and Zach, presented by betonline.ag. Our fourth different location, four different episodes, studio, Zoom, Zach's backyard, Hunk, whose backyard? He's got a pool. He's behind the camera today. Never wants to step in front of the camera for whatever reason. I can't talk politics, so sorry. Zach, what do we got on tap for this week? What's the haps?
All right, you want to
talk about last week and how you were Oracle-less than you were the first 2 weeks that we did this?
So this was probably the weakest week overall. So if you had only picked my Colts-Titans game, you would have walked away real clean. I was perfect on that game, even the prop bet on that one. The other two NFL games missed on everything.
Yeah.
The Lions.
Yeah, it's rough.
See, even if the Lions got blown out, I felt really comfortable in the under of the I think it was 49, because I'm like, even if they get blown out, they're not going to let that offense score that many points on them. No, they did. They let the Eagles score 44, and they happened to score 6 to just get right over that 49 over under.
You couldn't have been more wrong about that.
I was wrong on everything.
More wrong. You think this is the game? The Lions are not going 0-16 this year.
0-17.
This is the one. It wasn't even close.
Niners, Bears.
What was the final? What was it, like 30?
44-6.
44-6. Yeah.
38 point slaughter at home. It was in Detroit.
Nail biter.
And then Bears. I'm gonna stop picking the Bears to perform because that's the second week in a row. I'm like, you know what? I think the Bears will do something. Lost by 11. They didn't cover. They didn't win. And I didn't hit the over-under on that one because they scored 55 points combined. It was a 45 over-under. So
if we're doing the math, how much money did you lose people this week, Zach?
So if you took my prop bets, then you would have lost, I believe, assuming you did like a standard, we should just do like values of 10, whether it's increments of like 10, 100 increments of that, you would have lost about 60 on a $10 if you assumed you did $10 on all of my bets, if you include the prop bets. If you not include prop bets, you're still plus 30, which is not amazing. It is only about a 30% return, which is not great. But if you just ignore the Oracle prop bets.
That's just assuming you bet $10.
Yes. $10 per thing. I mean, that's 30 on each bet, assuming is what I'm saying. On average, it's about 30%.
What if it was 300 on each bet?
Well, then, if you did my prop bets, I am very sorry. Your kids are not getting as
good
a Christmas.
Look into the camera.
Your kids
apologize.
Make it
sincere. We're not going anywhere until you apologize.
I am sorry, but I will wait. Let me do all my bad games before we continue.
Okay, let's apologize for every mistake.
College football. Also was not great.
Where does it end?
Penn State, Ohio State. I actually, the only thing I didn't get was covering. I picked Ohio State to win, and I got the under on that one. So we're all good on that one. The Auburn Ole Miss didn't go the way I wanted it to. That one was rough. And then I'm trying to think of the third ranked match. That one I was 2-for-3 on. I can't recall the game right now, but it was a little bit better in college football. I'm not going to break the SEC. I'm so far really bad at the SEC and really bad against the Bears. So if I make a bet with the Bears or the SEC, don't listen to me. But if I make a bet with a team in the AFC South, I am still 100%. So if you hear me name an AFC South team, prediction about that division, I'm an oracle there. Just not in college football or the Bears.
In order to be an oracle, you have to be perfect.
Anyway.
Which you are not.
So that's last week. So that was just a fluke week. Time to get back to the real Oracle. All right, I'm going to go first with my picks. My first pick. So last week, I should have picked it. Should have known. Jets, Lord and Savior, Mike White, because Zach Wilson's hurt. Mike White comes in and lays the beat down on Joey B in Cincinnati, gets the W. And, you know,
I thought Sam Darnold was their Lord and Savior.
That's long ago. Zach Wilson, you know, we still like him, but, you know, Mike White, you know, I have faith that it'll be a real quarterback battle because despite that win on the road against Cincinnati, the division leader in the AFC North, they are 10.5 point dogs against the Colts in Indianapolis this Thursday. but I am picking them to not only cover, but to win. And I am picking the over actually in that game, over of 46. I'm predicting Mike White throws for 300 yards again. What do you think about that? What is wrong with you?
When will you ever learn? That is the dumbest prediction. You call yourself an oracle for the first 10 minutes of this segment, and then you make wild pick that.
Yeah, it's a big payout if it's right. And I'm feeling Mike White, I don't think he's a fluke. I think Mike White's the real deal. That Cincinnati defense destroyed Lamar Jackson the week before on the road, and then we came in their own house and beat them, scored 34 on them, three touchdowns, 405 yards in his debut. And hit pick the prop bet Mike White throws at least 300 passing yards. Next game. Falcons plus six against the Saints. I don't think they win, but I think the Falcons cover, and I'm picking the under at 41.5. And then I am going, this is an odd.
You're picking the under in that game? That's interesting. Yes.
And then I am picking my prop bet, a little interesting with this one. I don't know why I'm still going with these prop bets. You can ignore them if you want. They haven't been good. But this one?
None of them have been good. Not even close.
Neither team converts over 25% of their third downs. Both teams are horrendous.
Good. You did your homework this time.
On third down. All right, so that's that.
All right.
My third and final NFL prediction of the week before we let you do your games, then go to the college football. Titans.
Everything's run on a tight pat schedule.
After losing Derrick Henry, are plus +8 underdogs.
I just want to show the people your schedule.
No, we'll show them. Yeah, you'll put in the fire. I know what you're up to. +8.
You shouldn't be reading off notes anyway.
To cover.
Unprofessional.
+8. I'm predicting them not to win, but to cover the under at 53.5. And I'm going to say that both Matthew Stafford and Ryan Tannehill throw one interception as my prop bet. Those are my. I'll show it because I know you'll throw it. But yeah.
You know what? I'll back you on the prop bet. Between the one interception between the both of them?
Mm-hmm.
Or for each?
For each.
I'll back that. All Stafford, right. I think, has had a marvelous season. It stinks that everybody else in the NFC is just going bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously, like Cowboys are 6-1. The Bucks are 6-2. The freaking
Cardinals,
Rams are 7-1. Cardinals are 7-1.
I think
Packers
your Cowboys
are 7-1.
Actually 7-1, actually.
No, we went to 6-1. I think we had a bye week, yeah. Mm. Cooper Rush. Good job, kid. Again, NFC Championship game or bust, but.
Mm. Yeah, so those are my three. You poo-pooed two out of the three, especially the first one, but let's hear your
67%
three. 67%. For this week.
So I'm going to start with the New England Patriots, Mac Jones's New England Patriots, on the Carolina Panthers out in Charlotte, North Carolina.
That's a good one.
The Panthers, I think, have they have it by 3 points.
Believe so.
They have it by 3 points, which is very interesting to me. The Patriots coming off that huge win against the Jets 2 weeks ago.
Chargers last week.
I'm feeling good about the Patriots this week. I'm not only going to take them on the over, I'm going to have them win
on
Sunday
them, not
against
just
the Carolina Panthers.
Right, what's the over-under for that game? Do you remember?
The over-under for that game, let me check my notes on a phone like a normal person. the over is 41.
Over under.
So I think I'm going over. I'm saying the Patriots win as well.
And then I'm guessing you're going to be scared and you're going to not have a prop bet. So you're not going to do that.
I don't do prop bets.
All right. Go do your next game then.
I'm a man.
All right. Okay.
The New York Giants hosting the Las Vegas Raiders, the former Oakland Raiders football club. I think they're the favorite by 2.5. The over 46.5 in that game. I'm going to take the under between those two teams. I don't like the over at 46 between the Giants and the Raiders. Raiders have shown promise, but at the same time, Derek Carr, I feel like he's been too wildly inconsistent this year to make that pick. At least the Raiders have offensively. And the New York Giants are just the freaking New York Giants, man. I really don't know what to say much more than that. They got the advantage at MetLife. I think they cover.
They cover? What is the spread?
The spread is, what was it? The over at 46, 46.5, the spread 2.5.
2.5? That's a pretty tight spread. You think they'll cover? They'll cover.
I think you can win big money if you take that bet.
That's fair. See, now you're understanding it. Now you're getting it.
No, 100%. Dude, okay, the Jets won, that's not going to happen.
I'm just saying.
They're not going to win.
You want to make up for the Christmas presents that were lost last week, but on that one,
those two teams, you cannot pick the over on those two teams. Double Christmas presents. That's what you're looking at.
Double Christmas presents.
Okay.
All right, let's hear your third game.
Third game was the Bolts and the Birds. So the Los Angeles Chargers, the former team of San Diego, taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles cover the spread by one.
That's close.
That's why I picked this, because it can go either way.
That is, yeah.
Eagles coming off a big win.
Dogs by one or the favorites by one?
They're the dogs by one.
Okay.
So the Chargers are the favorites by one. What's the spread? The spread or the over-under is 50, which is very interesting to me, because the Eagles have literally, they come off one big win against the Detroit Lions, and that's basically it. Other than that, they're kind of the worst team in the league.
I've looked rough the past 2 weeks. They started the season
The over-under at 50 for this game? No defense is involved?
I get the Chargers defense last 2 weeks hasn't looked good, and the Philly defense looked bad all season.
I'm definitely going the under for that game. I could be wrong, but I don't think either offense has performed well enough all season long to even take a chance at the bet the over
at
50 points.
Neither team is consistent. Both of them, I would agree with that.
I'd take my bet at saying that Los Angeles covers the spread by at least one.
Okay.
I don't see the Eagles winning this game at all.
Okay. All right. Do the Eagles cover at least? The Eagles lose only by...
No, I think they lose by...
By more than one?
More than one.
What's
next on Zach's list?
All right, we got
the
two,
list.
We got two
Zach.
More items before our halftime. First one is...
Which is what we desperately want to get to. We just want to talk about Michael Sarah for like the next
the
hour.
The at least as of right now, the only ranked college game I could find this weekend for week 9, Texas A&M, 4.5-point favorites against Auburn. I'm picking Auburn to cover, and... This was a bad time because I picked against Auburn last time and it went poorly for me. But I'm predicting Texas A&M to beat Auburn. Auburn will cover, and I'm picking the over at 49. And you know what? I'm going even crazier with these prop bets now. I'm doing it in the college right now too. And I say that Texas A&M covers, but it's within they cover on the last play. They're down by like 3 or 2
That's
and get a touchdown at the very
prediction.
End in the last 5 minutes.
Why is that last a prediction? Like, you don't even have minutes. To make that prediction.
I'm going out there. You know what? Prop bets, you make them small, you can do like 1-5 and then the big payouts. That's the whole thing. Prop bets are just fun. The fun little ads, just see if you can game the system more. So overall, over under, picking the over at 49. Hopefully Auburn doesn't make me eat my words twice, but that's my prediction on that game.
Yeah, you really ate your words last week, for sure.
Yeah, they creamed Ole Miss last time.
You know what? I'll take you on that.
I think Texas A&M can do it?
I think that Auburn has looked good, but Texas A&M has shown promise, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be a close game.
Yeah.
What's the spread?
Spread? 4.5.
4.5? I'd go under that.
You think? So you don't...
I will go under that.
So you think it's within 4.5?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm willing to bet that one wins by a field goal.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Man, it's going to be really bad if Auburn not only wins, but also, like, wins this over the spread that I'm predicting not even to make. But you know what, Texas A&M, I have faith in you. Do not prove me wrong. All right.
We'll see if you have any money by the end of this week.
I'll leave it to you for the last segment before our halftime. World Series just ended. Give us your thoughts on the series and your predictions for the upcoming season.
Golf clap. Join me. Golf clap for the Atlanta Braves. The World Series champions for the first time since 1995. I believe it was Jorge Soler that walked away with the World Series Most Valuable Player Award. He was unbelievable. Not only this entire postseason. I mean, Ronald Acuna Jr., goes down before the All-Star break, out for the season. That's their player. That is their franchise guy. They're 44-45 at the All-Star break. They're a game under 500. Not even in the race. The New York Mets were in first at the All-Star break. The Philadelphia Phillies were in the mix at the All-Star break. Atlanta Braves were not in the mix. They go on a tear in the second half. Freddie Freeman lights up the board in what could be his final season. It's a home run in what could be his final at-bat. In Game 6 of the World Series last night in the 7th inning. Jorge Soler, though, to me, the most valuable player. He had a shot last night in the 3rd inning. It was a 10-pitch at-bat, 3-2 count, runners on first and second, 2 outs. was looking low, found a fastball low in the zone on the inside corner and just tanked it over the train tracks at Minute Maid Park. It was impressive to see. I mean, we talked about Charlie Morton as early as last week, breaking his leg, throwing 16 pitches on a broken leg. Very impressive. And like I said, it was 1-1 going into game three. Braves with a 2-0 win in game three. The bats come alive in game four to go up 3-1. And of course, the Astros, they're a great team, great offensive team. They make it interesting, put up big numbers in big runs, I should say, in game five to force it back to Houston. But there was no real shot. I thought that the Astros were going to erase that 3-1 series deficit. They put themselves in a hole with a very, very well-rounded, talented Atlanta Braves team that obviously just, they hit for power. I mean, Jorge Soler, Jock Peterson wins his second World Series in as many years, one with the Dodgers in 2020 and one with the Atlanta Braves in 2021. A lot of fun stuff. We'll see if Freddie Freeman re-signs. It doesn't appear so. They were kind of advertising it being his last game, home run in his last at-bat. Should be interesting, though, but I'm very happy for Atlanta Braves fans because they have, they've deserved it. They went to the World Series in 96, lost, 99, lost. They were up 3-1 in the NLCS last year against the Dodgers, came up short, were up 3-1 in that series this year, were able to finally sneak away with it with a win in Game 6, so I'm happy for them. Congratulations to the Atlanta Braves. They won a lot of people a lot of money. The Astros did not win people a lot of money when it came to prop bets, when it came to the run line as well. So all around, got to give credit to the Chop. Congratulations to the Atlanta Braves. That's my thought on the World Series. Right. That's all I could really say about the World Series this year.
Any predictions for the upcoming season or the off season?
You can't predict baseball. That's why baseball is the greatest sport in America, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot predict what is going to happen. 44 and 45 at the All-Star break, they're probably not even making the playoffs without Ronald Acuna Jr.
That's a crazy run. Absolutely. Well, that leads us to the Michael Cera halftime report.
Cue Michael Cera halftime report graphic. What do we got on tap
all
today
right, so
from Michael Cera, your curly-headed friend?
Some people were saying Michael Cera is a relic from the past, saying he hasn't been a star in a lead movie since 2010 with Scott Pilgrim, and he hasn't been a major character in a TV show since Arrested Development reboot ended. So it's like,
debatable.
Michael Cera is just, you know, where is he gone? Well, he is coming back, and he is going to be in the new A24 film, Jaunty, in which it'll be about a sheltered kid moving to New York City, writing one of the worst Broadway plays. It'll be a very highbrow comedy. I am super excited. A24 is a lovely studio, and I'm excited to see him in a leading role again. And even more exciting news, Wes Anderson's new film, The French Dispatch, is coming out fairly soon. But there are already talks that Wes Anderson's next film will be starring Jeff Goldblum and our beloved Michael Cera. So we may get an A24
Michael
Cera lead.
That's a weird duo right there.
I think that'll be interesting. That's kind of like me and Hank, you know? That's what I feel like. The nice man's man and then, you know, the curly-haired awkward guy. I feel like that's what that is.
What do you think, Hank? Do you agree with that assessment? No, not at all? You think Zach's a weirdo? I agree.
We can't see him that... All right.
I can see him. I have great 20/20 vision with my contact lenses.
Anyway, look forward to Jaunty. That should be coming out sometime next year.
I'm pretty sure The French Dispatch already came out.
No, I'm talking about Jaunty.
Oh.
Yeah, so Jaunty, the A24 film is going to be in. That comes out soon. And then stay tuned for probably about 2 years since The French Dispatch just came out. About two and a half years to see our boy Michael Cera in a Wes Anderson film alongside Jeff Goldblum. Let's get that star back on the silver screen where he belongs. And that was our
Michael Cera halftime report. Cue out Michael Cera halftime report graphic. That'd be very interesting to see him in a movie with someone like that. Who's the dream person that you'd like to see Michael Cera be a duo with in a movie that isn't Jonah Hill?
That isn't Jonah Hill. I actually, maybe this is just because I just saw Dune and I really like both of them. This either Oscar Isaac or Jason Momoa. I think this idea
Jason
of him,
Momoa, I think, honestly, as weird as that sounds, would be a great cast.
I'd be really fun to do a sort of like, even if he's like the 1B, a Jason Momoa like spy movie where like Michael Cera's like the Q sort of role, that like sort of tech guy sort of with role with it. And they have that like dynamic back and forth. I think that's really interesting because I think Michael Cera works really great as a lead. But I think he works great when someone else is the charismatic center, when he's more of the emotional center, where he's a lot of the emotion really comes from, but a lot where when the humor and sort of the charisma that comes from someone else. And Jason Momoa has shown in Dune and Aquaman and a bunch of the films he's been in. He has a lot of that. And Oscar Isaac is just an amazing actor that I think would be nice to see someone of that caliber work with Michael Cera.
All right, that was way too much time after the Michael Cera halftime report. Let's talk about some relevant stuff people would actually be interested in talking about, please.
Next segment, new coming out this Christmas, the film American Underdog, starring Zachary Levi and Dennis Quaid as the also as the coach. Kurt Warner, feature film, for film about Kurt Warner, rise from being a bagger of groceries to leading the St. Louis Rams and the greatest show on turf to two back-to-back Super Bowls, one Super Bowl victory. I'm curious on your excitement level, your thoughts on Zachary Levi and Dennis Quaid in that movie.
My excitement level.
I'm a big Kurt Warner.
At the very least. Yeah, Kurt Warner, you know, it's interesting. Because, again, he tried this before, right? Like, he's come out with stuff before.
So, originally, he tried to come out with a documentary about sort of, like, his faith and how it got into it. But this is a full feature film, narrative biopic starring Shazam himself, Zachary Levi, and the coach will be
Zachary
Dennis
Levi
Quaid.
Will be interesting. Dennis Quaid, I think, to me anyways, from what I've seen, really does his homework.
Yes.
And really communicates with the people that he's portraying, mm-hmm. right? So, like, maybe this will be more, you know, centered around fiction. Mm-hmm. I've seen, like, obviously, just talking to people, Jim the Rookie Morris, who we've had on this show, talking about, you know, having to play him in a movie. Like, they were like best friends for 6 months because he really took the time. He lived with him. He really took the time to get to know all of his mannerisms, how he talked, how he spoke to people, what his actual story was. Yeah. So as an actor, I respect Dennis Quaid for that. And I think he can pull off really anything that he really sets his heart to.
As a Cardinals fan, Kurt Warner was one of the few joys that I got in that oh-so-close Super Bowl run. And, you know, going to GCU for a long time during that, especially during the times of the Cardinals, big man of faith, and to see a player succeed like that despite the odds while still maintaining his faith. I'm really excited. I think it'll be a fun movie. And that'll segue to my next question for you. Speaking of sports films, what are your top three favorite sports films of all time?
My top three favorite sports films of all time. That is interesting. Would Talladega Nights count?
I'll count Talladega Nights.
Talladega Nights. I mean, I wouldn't count that, but I'll put it on. Field of Dreams, I think, has to be for everybody.
That's a great one.
They just played the first ever Field of Dreams game this year between the Yankees and the White Sox in Iowa. Kevin Costner was there throughout the ceremonial first pitch.
Nice.
That one was very interesting. Not that this is one, but For the Love of the Game, which was another Kevin Costner baseball movie where he's a pitcher for the Tigers through a perfect game. No continuity in that movie at all. If you are a filmmaker or work in any sort of digital film, you would hate that movie because there is no continuity at all, especially at the end. The final hitter was number 13, and he was a righty. And as he was walking back to the dugout as they were celebrating on the field, he was number 71 wearing a lefty batter's helmet.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
You don't think anybody would notice that? I noticed that. I was 13 when I first. I'm like, Dad, why? That doesn't make sense.
So a little bit lower budget film.
Seriously. I mean, that one was very interesting. Oh, it looks like we have a tweet coming in.
Oh, Jesus.
We haven't had a tweet in a few weeks. Hank the Tank tweets. Oh, it's from Hank. He's got to go with Major League.
Major League? That's a good, okay.
League. And I don't know why I forgot about Major League. That was a great movie.
That was a really good one.
There's probably a ton of flying, what was it, the Angels?
Angels in the Outfield.
Angels in the Outfield.
That's
I saw
a really
that one
good
last
one.
Year. I'm all over the place. My scatterbrain can't remember any of the movies right now. What are some of your favorites? All maybe right. They're different. Hopefully they're different.
So the one rule stipulation I put, because I watch a lot of sports movies, is I had to pick a different sport for each of my three. So first one, I'm going to do UFC The Warrior. It was with Tom Hardy and
that is an awesome
there.
Movie. I honestly was not even categorizing that movie as a sports movie.
Because it's so good.
It's a great movie. Two brothers who don't know each other at all.
That scene on the beach right before their fight in the tournament. Oh, my God. Just an absolute incredible movie. I think it really kind of like shows what it does do some things in terms of the amount of training time it takes for UFC, but I think it still shows the grittiness of the sport. They still got a lot of the commentators to do to be in the film, and it's just an overall, it's a great story, and it still I think shows a lot of the appeal of the sport, even if it's not 100% accurate. Just really like that one. Second one, I'm gonna go with boxing, sticking the combat sport. It's the classic Rocky. It is
another one I forgot about.
So
what is
good.
Wrong with me? Tonight?
It is, especially as my dad growing up as a Philly boy and him taking me to those stairs. It's just, it's such a amazing.
You were probably
movie.
Heaving by the time you got to the top there. I could only imagine you walking up those steps.
I ran them. I ran up
really?
Them. See, in high school, I was actually in all right, at least cardio shape. I was still not muscular, but I was, at least, conditioning was decent. But that is just an incredible classic film. One best picture.
Which one's your
for
favorite?
A reason. Of the Rocky films, probably the original.
Really?
I would say.
That makes sense.
I would say Creed is close.
I was going to go with four.
Four is good. Four,
Ivan Drago.
Four is so entertaining. Four is the one I've rewatched the most. I will say that. Yeah. Four is the one I've rewatched the most. The new director's cut coming out for that one, so that'll be exciting to see. You can catch that, I believe, either just finished in theaters or but the DVD Blu-ray version director's cut.
I love the Creed movies too. I'll be that one guy that says it.
No, I really like the Creed. I like the Creed movie as well. Michael B. Jordan's great. And then my third one, they're much better football movies. Remember the Titans. There's Rudy.
Another great one.
Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of ones
Why
that are
I
better.
Think of any of these?
But I wanted to include one comedy because sports comedy should also count. And so for my football pick, I'm going with Waterboy.
Oh, Waterboy.
One of my favorite
phenomenal.
Adam Sandler movies. Just so hilarious. You can quote it all the time. And so.
Phenomenal.
Will this American Underdog coming up this Christmas from Zachary Levi and Dennis Quaid about the story of Kurt Warner meet up to any of the movies we mentioned?
I don't know.
Who knows?
Got to give a shout out to Rob Schneider too, the Benchwarmers.
You're right.
Great baseball movie.
Shout out Rob Schneider. But that's it. And then I believe the only thing we have left to talk about tonight is speaking of the Warrior in UFC. We talked about it a little bit last time, but let's give our full thoughts. UFC 268 this weekend.
It's going to be very interesting. I've been looking forward to this forever. I'm going to do a podcast tomorrow with MMA Mike. Back in the saddle again. It's been a while since I've talked to him. But he's actually going to Madison Square Garden by himself to go to this fight.
Wow.
In New York City. Gaethje versus Chandler, you talked about. I'm very excited for that matchup. And obviously, the main event between Kamaru Usman and Colby Covington. The second time around, I still think Kamaru is going to whoop him. He's just going to hand him a new one for the second straight time. Colby Covington has been able to morph into this character, though, which is something I'd like to see.
You're excited for his mic game.
I think he will crush Kamaru in the mic game. It's going to be like McGregor-Poirier all over again. Well, Conor talked the talk. Dustin was just like, whatever, let's just get in the cage and fight. And that's what he did.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I agree with you. I think it's going to be same as the first time, just going to absolutely slaughter them. But Is this the first Madison Square Garden? Because I know we've had Vegas. I know we've had Abu Dhabi. Is this?
No. They've had. I went to the first Madison Square Garden event in 2016. It was McGregor versus Alvarez.
Since the pandemic.
This is the first one since the pandemic.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
So, MSG, it's back, baby. Yeah, we got another big. Knicks are doing well. The UFC 268 Madison Square Garden is back, and unless there's anything else to talk about, I think that wraps up our
show. Who gave you the
today.
Fucking privilege to wrap up my show?
I'm the one with
the
itinerary.
The show,
okay.
There's your notes. As his notes burn to the ground, hey, here we go.
Okay.
This was episode 436, I should say, of the podcast. We are presented by betonline.ag. Sign up for that 50% bonus only at betonline.ag. You should probably watch as that burns to the ground. Hank, you can kill the lights.